bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us your face, O God of Jacob, and God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts. Spirit, come make us humble. God always does have a way of making us humble, doesn't he? Welcome to worship this morning. Will you stand and continue with us as we sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Just beyond the river.
this one, probably by heart. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. The waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. I, King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven and victories won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler. Stars burn down and the earth wears out, and we stand before the throne with the witnesses who have gone before. We will rise and all applaud, singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. When the hands of time wind fully down and the earth is rolled like a scroll, the trumpet will call and the world will fall to its knees as we all go. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Star of the morning, light of salvation, majesty. Lord of the universe, righteous King, Star of the morning, Light of salvation, Majesty, God of all mysteries, Lord of the universe, righteous. Face to face in a moment.
singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing.
You may be seated.
Well, good morning. The announcements are basically the same as last week. Nothing's changed as far as Pastor Paul's arrival. Everything is on track, so that's all good news. The one announcement, if you didn't hear, is April 3rd, we will have, not April 3rd, yes, 3rd. Yeah, April 3rd, we will have a potluck. We'll have a, should be a good time, so please plan on coming to that. Any other announcements? Kim. So the 4th? Okay. Okay. So, okay. The book of Haggai? Okay. Very well. Any other announcements? Okay. Well, let's go into prayer time. I know there's probably many out there silent and spoken up, but what prayer requests do we have? Harlan, yes. Yeah, and that's one of those situations you want to pray for him, but you almost want to praise that he's in there preaching to those prisoners who he's there for a reason. You know, if you're a Christian, you're where you are for a reason. So we will pray for him to keep him strong. That's how I'm very saying. Thank you, Barry. We'll put in our prayers. Bart. Yes. Yeah, the running water is so important. It's a completely different situation, but my time in Afghanistan, that's the one thing people don't have that I missed the most, was just running water, because it's such an important part of the way our life today. Okay. For all the spring breakers, they were coming and going, and ours made it home safely, thank God, and but there's still some that are out there right now. Amen. Mary. Lynn? And we'll pray for Doug, too, if you guys don't know Doug. Doug will be giving us the message this morning, so we will pray for his words to penetrate our hearts and minds and bring us closer to Christ. Okay, one more, yes. We will pray for the Schoonover's mother. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we lift our prayers up to you today as you are our God. We are your children. We know you love us. We know you care for us. You know every hair on our head. Lord, whatever the outcomes of our prayers and of our requests and our pleads and our praises, we know you are a good God, and we will trust you and we will have faith in you. Let us never lose sight of that. Understand that you work all things for good for those who love you. And Lord, beyond all else, we love you and we praise you. Lord, I ask for a revival in our town of Ouray. And Lord, I ask that you make us part of that revival. Let us do our due diligence as Christians and seek out and reach out to those who are in desperate need of you, those who don't know you. Lord, we pray for the revival in our state as well. And we ask our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout other churches in the state to be part of that, as well as this country. Let us as a Christian community throughout the state, country, bond together in unity to bring Christ back to this country. Lord, we praise and we pray for our fellow pastor in Canada. Lord, we praise that he is where he is, ministering to the prisoners. Those prisoners need it, Lord, and he is there because you have put them there. But Lord, in your due time, we ask you to release him from that prison. Bring him back to his family, bring him back to his congregation safely, healthy. Lord, we pray for the unborn child of Caleb and Marina. We ask you to heal her heart. We ask you to give them an uncomplicated birth and bring this child into this world safely and in their care. Lord, we ask you to keep them strong as they go through this situation. The sickness of a child, the health of a child is quite a burden on a parent, and we ask you to bring them comfort. Lord, we pray for the people affected by the war in Ukraine, whichever side they're on, Lord. We ask that you bring clarity to the minds of those who are making terrible decisions, and we ask you to comfort those who are affected by those decisions. And Lord, we ask, whatever the situation may be, may you intervene and bring those people to you. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you've given us. specifically in this case, the blessing of water and running water. Lord, even though it is a luxury, it is one that we are very thankful for, and we ask you to bring it to them as well. May we never take for granted the many gifts you have given us, even such as that. Lord, we pray for safe travels for those who are college, high school, that are on spring break. Many of them are traveling from home or to home or back to school. We ask you to keep them safe during their travels. Keep them alert. Keep those around them alert. And make they get them back to their places of education safely. Lord, we pray for Lynn, who is suffering from a health issue. We ask you to heal her, Lord. And we also pray for her husband, who is suffering from dementia. Lord, we ask you to lift them up, keep them strong, keep them courageous in Christ. Lord, we pray for the mother of the Schoonovers and the current medical condition. We ask you to heal her, bring the family back together safely and healthy. Lord, we pray for Doug as he brings the message to us today. May his words, may we hear them. May they bring us closer to Christ. As is our goal every Sunday, to come closer to you. And that is why we honor you and we praise you, and we come here as brothers and sisters to worship you through song, through prayer, and through the message of your scripture. Lord, we pray for our missionaries. We pray you to keep them strong wherever they're at. Keep them strong in their mission. Lift them up. Keep them faithful and courageous, whatever the situation may bring. Lord, and I pray for this church. I pray for our new pastor who will be here in a couple weeks. I ask you to keep us strong through thick times and through thin times, through good times and bad. May we always lean on you. May we always worship you and realize why we're here, and that's for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made on our behalf. I would ask you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Doug, it's all yours.
It's always such a pleasure to be with you guys. I don't know, I think it's probably close to 15 years ago was the first time that I preached here, and it's been fun to watch the path of this church over that time, and I still believe that God has a major role for you in this community, and that you're going to see good fruit for your faithfulness here. So thank you for inviting me to be with you. I'm about to do something I never do, but I'm generally prepared well in advance for anything. But this morning in my quiet time, I ran across a scripture which seemed to touch on what my core message was going to be. And so I, early this morning, made some significant modifications to my sermon. I hope they're right. This morning, the major passage, if you want to open your Bible, would be Genesis 1, 26 to 31. But as a lead-in to that, as this morning I was reading in Isaiah 59, and verse 14 says, Truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. That seems so appropriate in kind of describing our circumstance now, that truth has been banished from the public squares. The concept of absolute truth, of God's truth, is nowhere to be seen in public conversation. It's my truth and your truth, not the truth. And the net result is that he who departs from evil is made prey. That in many ways, we feel like we're under attack. We're standing for truth in a world that is rejecting it. And quite frankly, what has happened around us is that life has been reduced to a power game. That it doesn't matter what's right or wrong, it matters whether I have enough power to impose my view on you. And living in a small town in western Colorado, you can feel pretty overwhelmed by this. Say, is there any way I can make a difference in a world that has gone crazy around me? You look at millions of bureaucrats, you look at billionaire tech moguls, you look at the media propaganda, and you say, what could I possibly do in the face of this? And yet, what we're going to talk about this morning in Genesis 1 is God's command to us is to exercise dominion. And how are we supposed to put that together with a world that seems to have turned utterly against God and his truth? And so that's the thought that I want to pursue here. Let me read Genesis 1. It's a familiar passage, but I think there's some wisdom we can draw, some fresh wisdom here. In verse 26 of Genesis 1, then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So, we are bearers of the image of God. We were created in his image and we shine with his image to those around us, that we are disclosing the image of God through the way we're living our lives. As such, we've been granted dominion to rule under his rule. That's not independent dominion. That's not for us to rule our lives as we want to rule our lives. But we have derivative authority from him to rule under him. So dominion, big sounding word. But it applies to each and every one of us. I mean, Genesis 1 is very clear that this doesn't just apply to muckety-mucks. It applies to all of us. It's the power to rule, that it comes from the Latin, dominion comes from the Latin word domus, which means house, or dominus, which means lord of the household. So in a sense, we are the lords of our own households. In verse 26, God says, let them have dominion. So he's giving us the opportunity to rule. He's not saying that we will rule, he's saying that he's giving us the opportunity to rule in his behalf. Now, the word dominion in verse 26, there are two Hebrew words that could have been chosen. One is malak, which is the word from which king malak comes from. So that is, you know, the guy at the top of the ladder. But instead, Moses chose the word radach, which means to descend or go down, to wander or spread. So this is ruling by getting down among the people, finding out what their needs are, and meeting those needs. It's a very different concept of dominion. It's not the dominion of the mighty fist imposing yourself on other people. It's the servant leader who gets down in the trenches with the people he's trying to minister to and helps them to live their lives more productively. So it's giving of hands-on assistance that is the concept of dominion here. In business, there used to be a concept that was talked about a lot of managing by walking around. That's really what is being described here, is that you're gaining understanding of people around you and problems around you so that you can help people succeed, not ruling over them, but helping them govern themselves. In Ezekiel 34, the same word radak is used, and let me just turn there briefly because it's an interesting passage and sheds light on this. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So there's that word brought out there, with force and harshness you have ruled them. So God's complaint against the leadership, the spiritual leadership in Ezekiel's day, was that they were using their position of authority to benefit themselves, not to serve the people around them. Want to name names, but you guys came out of the PCUSA. Likewise, I was an elder at First Presbyterian in Montrose that was talking about leaving the PCUSA and made three attempts to leave. And in each instance, the failure to leave the PCUSA was because the pastor was concerned that his pension might be affected by it. And instead of acting on principle, they chose to stay where they were because their own economic security was their highest value. And it was very disappointing and very disturbing. And I applaud your church here for having the courage to do what you did. And frankly, having it happen when you were between pastors was providential, actually, I think somewhat intentional, but necessary. But this idea of ruling, it's an abuse of dominion to use it as a means to care for yourself as opposed to a means to serve the people around you. Psalm 23, very familiar, the Good Shepherd. He brings provision, he brings safety, he brings restoration, he brings peace. The shepherd doesn't serve himself, he serves the sheep. And we're under shepherds of the Good Shepherd. We're here to feed and protect, not fleece the flock. And so as Christians, our goal is to exercise dominion in this humble and positive fashion. Verse 28 tells us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Now, the obvious meaning of be fruitful and multiply is that mankind would expand. Going from Adam and Eve to 7 or 8 billion today, mankind has at least fulfilled that part of God's intent. But I think that there's more to the notion of filling the earth, that it says fill the earth, and that seems kind of redundant with multiplying. As image bearers, as dominion takers, I think we're supposed to be filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God, and that's a significant part of what our role as as dominion takers is. Habakkuk 2:14 says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And in a very real sense, that's how we're intended to fill the earth. So be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then the next thing Moses says is, and we're to subdue it. Now think about that for a second. God had already declared creation to be good. What need was there for man to subdue the earth? Pre-sin, the world seemed perfect, and yet the instruction before Adam and Eve sinned was to subdue the earth. The Hebrew word there, kabash, said it means that you're to bring things in line with their purpose for their own good. The earth was good, but it needed active administration. Trees needed to be pruned. Seeds needed to be planted. Crops needed to be harvested. I lived in the South for a long time. I married a good Southerner. Anybody knows that if you leave a piece of land untended, in a few years it'll be totally covered with kudzu, or maybe bamboo. But there are things that spread and destroy the usefulness of land and usefulness of forests unless man limits their growth. Now, we as parents know that our children are bundles of potential. They're full of joy, they're full of curiosity. But unless they get guidance from us to understand their boundaries, all that energy and creativity can go awry. That is up to us to take all of that energy and channel it constructively. That's the concept of subduing the earth, that we take what's good, what God created with endless potential, and we direct it so that it can be fulfill the purpose God had for it. The language changes between verse 26 and 28 a little bit. In 26, it says, let man have dominion. In verse 28, it says, be fruitful and have dominion. It turns from an opportunity to command. So he's saying we have to act on the grant that he's given us. He granted us the right, but that right is not meaningful unless we act on it. And so he's saying this is something that we have the ability to follow through on, and that we have the ability to obey and see this come to pass. So how do we take dominion? None of us in this room are rulers in the earth sense of that. And yet we're supposed to be taking dominion. As I thought about this, really the two passages in Colossians 3 came to mind as the answer to how we take dominion. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So all of our speech, all of our actions must be self-consciously intended to reflect God's character, do it in the name of the Lord, and God's grace, being thankful that God was the source of our ability to do that. So our humble expression of gratitude for gifts from the Father is part and parcel of taking dominion. We're not independently going out and conquering the world in his name. We are humbly taking the gifts that he's provided and using them to the absolute limit of our ability that they might be used to his glory. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work with your whole heart, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ. So how we take dominion is how we go about our daily tasks. Everything we do is God's work and must be done in his way. 100% of our effort, best of our abilities. Our desire is to take every gift that God's put in our hands and use it for his glory. Genesis 2:15, just a few verses later, God placed Adam and Eve in the garden to work and to keep it. So their work was to tend, to serve, to till, to cultivate, adorn, embellish, improve. Everything we touch should be better as a result of our touching. And it doesn't matter whether it's in the workplace or it's in our neighborhood or in our families. The goal of our heart should be that everything we touch would be better for who are having been touched by us. That our hands would be the hands of God, bringing grace to every situation. Adam and Eve were then told to keep, that they were to exercise great care, that they were guarding as God's caretakers. He's the owner. We're not working with our own material, we're working with His. But we ultimately have to give accountability for how we use those gifts to His glory. Were we careless with what He entrusted to us, or did we achieve the maximum fruitfulness for His glory and His benefit? So those are the principles. Now the question kind of comes, do we have a dominion opportunity after the fall? Did somehow things change when Adam and Eve sinned and frankly when we followed in that tradition of Adam and Eve and sinned ourselves? Does that compromise our ability to have dominion? Dominion can become selfish. It can be twisted into domination. Same root word, totally different concept. Without God's law and His love, dominion can turn into dark tyranny. And we need to be very, very alert that we don't misuse the authority God's given us. I'm a businessman. I've seen business more often than not turn selfish. Business is intended to identify needs and meet them. It's intended to be service. But when it becomes about me dominating for my sake, I try to create demand even where there's no need. So I sell people pet rocks. I try to squeeze every penny out of every customer. I really follow on the Ezekiel 34 model of ruling for my own benefit instead of ruling for the glory of God. And that's sad and it's twisted. So we've said that man was given work before the fall, Genesis 2:15. That dominion work continues after the fall. Genesis 3:23, when God expelled Adam from the garden, what did He do? He sent him out to work. Very first instruction is get to work. So the idea of dominion, of subduing the earth in the name of God, continued after the fall. Genesis 9:20, when Noah came off the ark, his first act was to begin a farm and plant a vineyard. He understood that God's intent was for him to be productive with those things that were at his command. Now, in Genesis 3:17 to 19, it says that work's going to be harder, it's going to be more painful, it's going to be sweatier, but we still have a duty to have dominion and subdue the earth. At a practical level, I've been kind of trying to think through what are the significant things I can do day to day that will reflect this concept of dominion. We're living in a beautiful place, but we're kind of off the beaten track. We wonder if we can have influence for the kingdom of God where we are. And the first thing I'd say is that the dominion command each one of us is that we were to only take rule over the realm God has assigned us. We're not to rule the whole world. But we do touch a little world around us. There are people that we see on a regular basis. There are relationships that we have day to day. And we're supposed to bring God's rule to bear on those things. If we each do that, the collective influence we can have is great. And it may feel like I'm a tiny cog in a big machine, but if that cog isn't functioning, that machine isn't functioning. And so we each have a responsibility to live out that dominion covenant in our own lives, trusting that the collective benefit of it will be the fulfillment of God's intent. I see one of the key exercises of dominion at this point to be intercessory prayer. We can change the world by joining our voices together to pray for repentance, for revival, for reformation. We prayed for those this morning, but we need to collectively be raising our voices before God on these very consistently. We prayed the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's the goal of our intercessory prayer in so many ways. Specifically, I wanted to just tell you one story. You may be familiar with it or you may not, but the last really significant revival to break out in the Western world was in 1949 in the Hebrides, the island group in the north of Scotland. A few years ago, we were concerned that story, the people who had lived through that revival were getting old, and the story would be lost. And so we participated with a group to write to a documentary film on that revival to preserve the stories of the people who had seen God move so mightily in that area. It was a dark time for the Hebrides. The churches were almost empty. Alcoholism was rampant. Something like 25 to 30% of adults were outright alcoholics. Marriages were collapsing. No youngsters had any spiritual interest at all. There wasn't a person under the age of 50 in any of the churches. Two elderly, housebound sisters decided that God was wanting them to do something about this. One of them was blind, the other one had huge physical problems. But they began to pray nightly for 3 to 4 hours every night for their community. Within a couple of months of them commencing to pray, the elders in a small church that was dying decided they needed to get together and pray nightly for their community. And so they started having nightly prayer meetings, which went on for 2 or 3 months. So we're now almost 6 months into the process. The elders felt led by God to invite an evangelist to come in for a week-long meeting to preach the gospel in their community. Didn't know if anybody would come, because at that point, only 2 or 3% of the population were even darkening the door of the church. So they invited a man by the name of Duncan Campbell to come preach for a week. The night he arrived mid-evening on a ferry out to the island of Lewis, and he asked if he could go to the church to pray that evening, just to see where the meetings would occur and just pray in preparation for it. So he goes to the church at 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening, and there are 300 people at the church. The church normally had under 50 in a normal Sunday service. At 10 o'clock in the evening, there were 300 people who had gathered at the church. Nobody knew why they were there, but they were there. By midnight, 600 people were there. In a town where the sidewalks rolled up at nightfall. At about 1 a.m., 100 young people came in from a bar. They'd been at a bar enjoying themselves, and they got into their head the reason they needed to turn up to go to this church. By 2 a.m., there were 1,000 people there in a town of about 7,000, in a church that seated 800 and normally had 50 people there. They prayed and they sang until 4 a.m. No preaching. As the meeting was breaking up at 4 a.m., a policeman appeared at the door and asked Duncan Campbell if he could come over to the police station, as he didn't know quite what to do, that 400 people had gathered at the police station to pray. And so, you know, all night long, 20% of the population of the town felt the same prompting from the Spirit of God to turn up. And most of them were lapsed believers. They had had some exposure to the gospel at an earlier age, but had rejected it and gone on with their lives. The meetings that were supposed to go on for a week lasted 5 weeks. Virtually the entire population of this town, Lewis, came to Christ in that 5 week period of time, made formal commitments to Christ. Over 3 years, basically 100% of the population of the Hebrides Islands came to Christ. 45,000 people. Alcoholism disappeared. Marriages were healed. The young people got excited about church and started attending. Out of nowhere, two housebound elderly widows beginning to pray were the catalysts for this to happen. The dominion that we exercise in the name of our Lord is mighty. It has the potential to do that in Uray, in Montrose, wherever. We pray for the state of Colorado. We really need to be persistent and intense in that prayer, because God answers those prayers. We can make a difference. We can shift the world as a result of that. And finally, to finish up the passage, in verse 31, God pronounced the whole creation very good. As he went along in creation, step by step, he had declared that each element was good, that it was pleasant, it was agreeable, that it was fit for its intended purpose. But it was only when he gave dominion to man to administer it in his behalf that it became very good. What we do in our response to the dominion command is very, very important in God's sight, that creation will never fulfill its intention until we assume our responsibility to rule in his behalf. And so we have the potential to take the world from good to very good through the way we live our lives before him. Just to finish up from my morning meditation, or my quiet time this morning, Isaiah 59 talked about how justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. Truth has stumbled the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking. He who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then we go on down kind of to the end of that passage. And there are two thoughts that God presents to us. Verse 16, he says, the Lord saw there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, his righteousness upheld him. So God intervened even when the people were turned away from him. And it doesn't take 50 million of us to turn this nation around. It takes a few of us being faithful to God's call. And in verse 21, this thought is completed. And the Lord says, as for me, this is my covenant with them. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I've put in your mouth shall not depart from this time forth and forevermore. So submitting ourselves to God's spirit dwelling in us and our faithfulness to his word, God has promised, he's covenanted with us, that these will not depart forever and ever. So as we are faithful, we will see God bring salvation, bring redemption, bring the revival that our hearts hunger for. And it's our task to align ourselves with Him. You know, when Paul talked about keeping in step with the Spirit, that's what we're called to do here, is that the Spirit is moving. It's our challenge to stay in stride with Him. Let me just close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for giving us the grand vision or image of dominion. In some ways, it feels so large and unattainable, and yet you wouldn't have commanded it to us unless you intended for us to experience it. You intended for us to obey and see what you would do with those who would obey. Father, we do desire that we might rule with gentleness, with generosity, with a servant's heart. We do desire that we might influence everything we touch, that your presence might be known, that your glory might be revealed. Father, it is our desire that you would take tiny beginnings and add your resurrection power and the presence of your Spirit in order to bring about God-sized results way beyond our capacity. Father, it can start in your right. It can start in this little congregation. We would just want to put ourselves available for you to act, for you to bring these desires of our hearts to fruition. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's reflect on that a little bit as we sing this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to a tree. His grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. Let's stand and sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all. creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to sing one more song, actually. Since we've gone back to Genesis, we thought we might sing Morning Has Broken. So let's sing that song together in honor of spring.
Purpose out, and the time is drawing nearer. Nearer and nearer draws the time. The time shall surely be when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. May each of us play with all our heart and strength his intended role in the spread of the knowledge of the glory of God. Go be the church.